When I was growing up, we moved around a lot when I was young. Moved to a different house almost every 2 years. And so I was often the outsider, whether that was at the new school or the new church or the new neighborhood. I was the outsider who was showing up and just hanging around the edges. Now, I wasn't a misfit like some of the ones we've talked about the last couple weeks. Obvious misfits who are messy or broken or who don't look anything like anyone else around them. And maybe you have felt like that before, like the obvious misfit. But I'm talking about the misfit that you don't notice, the one that slips right past us, the quiet, overlooked one who is standing in the corner of the room, wondering if anyone sees them, the misfit who feels invisible. I've been that one before, standing on the edge, on the outside, not sure how to break in, not sure if I even want to break in. But I found that God has this habit. He keeps showing up on the edges of the room. He keeps showing up with the outsiders, with the overlooked, with the ones who are carrying quiet sadness, the ones who feel like the odd one out in God's family. And that's where we find Ruth. And that's where God finds a lot of us. So open your Bibles with me to the book of Ruth. It's in the Old Testament. If you're using the black seatback Bible in front of you'll find it on page 187. And as you're finding it, I want to remind you that we have been spending these last few weeks with the image of the Island of Misfit Toys that comes from the classic Christmas movie, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And we've discovered that this theme of being a misfit, it isn't something that's just relevant for a children's Christmas story about discarded toys. It's actually an image that is all over the Bible. And it's usually where we find some of the best examples of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, who comes to find the people who are lost. Because we keep seeing again and again that God chooses to move toward the people that the world usually overlooks. Rahab showed us God welcomes misfits with a messy past. Elijah showed us that God restores and draws close to the misfits who feel like their time has passed. And today, Ruth is going to show us that God doesn't just work redemption for outsiders. He loves to work through them. And so as we read through this whole story together, we're going to see that this isn't just a love story. It's a story of redemption and belonging. It's a story about you and the God who welcomes you. Because God's redemption works through relationships. So let's read together. We're going to unpack this as we go. And as the book of Ruth opens, chapter 1, verse 1, we're introduced to an Israelite family who leave Bethlehem and who move to the neighboring kingdom of Moab because of a famine in the land of Israel. And now the dad ends up dying, leaving his wife and two sons in this new country. And the sons marry local Moabite women, and then 10 years pass, and somehow the sons die. And in verse 8, we see the matriarch, Naomi, and she hears that famine has ended in Israel, and so she decides to return home. But she relieves her daughters-in-law from any type of responsibility they have to her, because there's no point for them to remain with her, because she feels like she's destined to remain a childless widow. And in that period in human history, your retirement plan was your kids. And once they gave you grandchildren, you earned your keep by taking care and helping raise the grandbabies. But with no husband to care for her and no sons to take over the responsibility from their father, Naomi felt destined to stay alone. And so she chose to return back to her people, where she would be homeless, but hopefully find the kindness of some strangers to treat her well until she died. And even though the two daughters-in-law protest, Naomi shuts them down. She says, "There's no reason that you have the same fate as me. Go home to your parents, because maybe you can marry again. And then you'll have your own children and your own future secured, your own family." And then in verse 14, we see one of the daughters-in-law, they agree. But Ruth clings to her. And Naomi doesn't understand. She tells her, "Go home just like your other sister-in-law decided to do." But Ruth gives this beautiful declaration of loyalty and faith. Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you, to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." Ruth chose to stay with Naomi. And it's clear that it's not because that's the better choice for Ruth necessarily. She is giving up her home, giving up her family, her people, her customs, all of that to show Naomi that she's not alone like she thought. And so chapter one ends with them traveling back to Bethlehem, and it's at the start of harvest. So the rumors of the famine must be over were true. And maybe there is hope after all. And chapter two begins and it introduces us to our third character, Boaz. He's described as a prominent rich man. So we know he's capable, he's respected, he's established in the community. But I want to remind you something that we learned 2 weeks ago when we looked at the story of Rahab. She was the one who's the foreign prostitute who was rescued by God from Jericho, adopted into the family of God. And remember, 2 weeks ago, we learned that she ended up marrying an Israelite man, and she ended up having a son who was named Boaz. And so now we meet the son of the misfit with a messy past, and the son has grown up, and he's made a name for himself. He's become successful. But there's something else I want to point out about Boaz. Even though he's an older gentleman in our story, there's no mention in the entire book about a wife or children. And so part of me wonders if, yeah, he was a successful businessman in the community, but maybe none of the other families really wanted to intermarry with someone whose mother was a foreigner, let alone a former sex worker. And the text doesn't say, but that's just my hunch. And whatever the reason, he's older, he's unmarried, he's definitely a misfit himself. And let's keep reading. Chapter 2, verse 2, Ruth said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain behind someone in whose sight I might find favor." And so she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she went. She came and gleaned in the field behind the reapers. As it happened, she came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. Now remember, Ruth and Naomi, they have nothing. And so Ruth offers to go do manual labor, gleaning the scattered leftovers during harvest. So at least they'd have some pieces of grain to eat. And the text says, as it happened, yeah, right. More like as God's divine providence made perfectly, she just happened to show up at the field of Boaz. And just then in verse 4, Boaz arrives. And so he gets an update from his foreman on who Ruth is because he didn't recognize her. He learns who she is. He hears all about her incredible work ethic from the day. And so he connects the dots that this must be the foreigner who has shown incredible love and loyalty to his distant cousin, Naomi. Then Boaz says to Ruth in verse 8, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Keep your eyes on the field that is being reaped and follow behind them. I've ordered the young men not to bother you. If you get thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." Boaz goes right up to her, and he doesn't treat her like a beggar or a moocher. He treats her like a regular human being worthy of dignity. And not only that, but he tells her, "Just stay at my field," because normally she would glean a little bit around this field, and then, well, I don't want to get on the bad side of the owner. I'll go to a different field. Don't want to outstay my welcome there. He says, "You're not going to overstay your welcome. Just stay here. You don't need to make rounds of all the fields. Stay at my field and I'll ensure your safety and your abundance." And Ruth is amazed and she's shocked at his kindness. She wonders why he would show such kindness to her, especially since she's a foreigner. Now remember, she doesn't know that he's a half Jew. His mother's a foreigner. She doesn't know that. In response, Boaz just declares to her, "Well, your acts of loyalty, your commitment towards Naomi, they've inspired him." And he connects her character to God's character, the God who provides refuge to the outsider underneath his wings. And then keep reading with me in verse 14. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here, eat some of this bread, dip your morsel in the sour wine." And so she sat beside the reapers and he heaped up for her some parched grain. She ate until she was satisfied and she had some left over. When she got up to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, "Let her glean even among the standing sheaves. Do not reproach her. You must also pull out some handfuls from her for her from the bundles. Leave them for her to glean. Do not rebuke her." So after Boaz has pretty much given her a free pass to stick around his property as much as she wants, he then also invites her to lunch with him and his workers. That was unheard of for a foreign widowed woman to be invited in like that. And not only does he give her abundant food with a leftover baggie, but he tells the harvesters to start doing a bad job. He's like, leave some extra so that she can have full stocks to glean. It's God's redemption at work through relationships again. And Ruth ends up with this huge bag of grain, something like 40 liters or 9 gallons, all just from one day of gleaning. And she brings it home to Naomi, and she is understandably blown away by the haul. And then Ruth tells Naomi everything that happened, all about that kind owner of the field, Boaz. And that's when it clicks for Naomi, because she knows who Boaz is. He is a distant family member related to her late husband. And Naomi just knows that the kindness shown that day is a sign that the Lord has not stopped showing kindness to the living and the dead. Because Naomi thought she was alone, but God was working through all these small moments to speak to her. She was not forgotten. She was not forsaken. And so both Ruth and Naomi rejoice together that God has provided for them, and Ruth sticks with the situation at Boaz's fields through the rest of harvest for the next 4 months. And then we get to chapter 3, and harvest is over. And so Naomi, she shifts into a maternal protective role with Ruth. I've got to figure out a way to ensure Ruth's future. And so she hatches this plan to give Ruth security and a future with a home and stability. And so she tells Ruth to go to Boaz that evening because he's their kinsman redeemer. Now, if you've never heard of the concept of kinsman redeemer, it's an old law. An old Jewish law is outlined for the people of Israel way back in the book of Leviticus. It was when God was helping Moses set up Jewish society for when they went into the promised land, because the Jews had just spent 400 years in Egypt living as slaves. All they knew was being a slave or being in charge of slaves. They didn't know how to have a different society. So God is outlining all these rules and laws to say, no. When you enter into the promised land, you're going to be the people of God. And I want the way that you live to show off the kind of rescuing love that God demonstrates. So one of the things that God set up was the concept of, well, what happens if a man dies and leaves a widow that doesn't have any kids to take care of her? Like, who's going to take care of her? How will his family line remain? Because God doesn't discard anyone. God doesn't forget anyone. He doesn't allow boundaries to be built up that keep people out from his love, because he's a redeeming God who seeks out the lost and forgotten. He seeks out the overlooked, and he brings them back into his family with full status. So when there was a widow, the kinsman redeemer law had instructed the next closest family member to buy their land and marry the widow and have kids with her. And those kids would keep the family line of the dead husband alive. It's this whole thing of truly new life out of death. And this ensured that no widow or starving family member or family line would ever be left without hope. And now Naomi knew about this, but she also knew that she was too old to have any more children. So she figured that no kinsman redeemer would choose her. But Ruth, she's young enough yet to still marry so that she doesn't have to spend the rest of her life without the security of a family. Naomi figured, I'm just destined for this, but Ruth doesn't have to be. And Ruth has apparently been shown extreme kindness by their kinsman, Boaz. And Ruth is the only surviving widow of the family line who is still in childbearing age. And so Naomi goes into matchmaker mode. Gives this whole detailed plan for how Ruth is supposed to approach Boaz, because Boaz had been acting as a protector of Ruth the whole summer. But there hasn't necessarily been any kind of romantic advances. And so Naomi is like, girl, you're going to have to make the first move. Here's how you do it. So she lays out the whole plan. And then pick up with me in verse 6. Ruth went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had instructed her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and was in a contented mood, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came stealthily and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and there lying at his feet was a woman. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your cloak over your servant, for you are next of kin." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. This last instance of your loyalty is better than the first, for you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich." Boaz is amazed that Ruth would choose him. You can just hear it in the way that he speaks to her. And as we keep reading, we realize that Boaz is delighted to redeem her. But there's a catch. A different distant family member is actually the next of kin. Someone else is one step closer in the line and is supposed to have first opportunity to redeem. And Boaz, who is a man of integrity, has to go through the proper processes. But he promises Ruth that he will redeem her if he has the chance to. Verse 14. Now, she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before one person could recognize another, for he said, "It must not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." He's trying to protect her dignity. So, then he said, "Bring the cloak you're wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her back. Then he went into town. She came to her mother-in-law, who said, "How did things go with you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, for he said, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" And she replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." Keep going. Chapter 4. No sooner had Boaz gone up to the gate and sat down than the next of kin of whom Boaz had spoken came passing by. So Boaz said, "Come over, sit down here." And he went over and sat down. Then Boaz took 10 men of the elders of town and said, "Here, sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the next of kin, "Naomi, who has come back to our country from Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our kinsman Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me so that I may know. For there's no one prior to you to redeem it, and I come after you." So the other guy said, "Yeah, I'll redeem it." Oh no. What? Boaz, he's trying to do all the things. He's a man of action. He went right into town. He didn't delay. Of course, God orchestrated it. So the other guy was coming into town early also. It's a perfect meetup. And he just happened to be there. Boaz calls over the guy. He told him all about the fact that Naomi's family land is for sale. Apparently the other guy didn't even know about it. Boy, hey, land's for sale. Any farmer in the Sauk Valley will tell you, land is gold, so of course he's going to get it. But what's Boaz going to do? Let's keep reading. Verse 5, then Boaz said, "The day that you acquire the field from the hand of Naomi, you are also acquiring Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of the dead man, to maintain the dead man's name on his inheritance." At this, the next of kin said, "I cannot redeem it for myself without damaging my own inheritance. You take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." And so the other guy agreed to buy the land until he found out that Ruth was part of the redemption package. And so he backs out. And so Boaz is now free to go through with the redemption himself. And he does so publicly. Skip down to verse 9. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses today that I have acquired from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to his sons Chilion and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, the wife of Mahlon, to be my wife, to maintain the dead man's name on his inheritance, in order that the name of the dead may not be cut off from his kindred and from the gate of this native place. Today you are witnesses." Then all the people who were at the gate, along with the elders, said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you produce children in Ephrathah and bestow a name in Bethlehem. And through the children that the Lord will give you by this young woman, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." It was 15 minutes ago It's four chapters ago that we first met Naomi and Ruth on the worst day of their lives. Both of them widowed. Naomi living far from family, no future or security. The only option to travel back to their hometown and beg for mercy. Naomi even says that it would be merciful for the Lord to just let her die. And Ruth, who lost her husband before they even got to start a family, she travels far away from her home and her family and her community. She gets to work picking up scraps along the edges of the field, her mind set on trying to provide for her mother-in-law, all while remaining an invisible outsider. Ruth, the outsider who's not from around here, the misfit that no one notices. But God doesn't discard anyone. God's love doesn't forget anyone. And God's redemption works through relationships. And so not only did God work through Boaz to redeem Ruth and bring her into the family of God, but we've been watching him work through Ruth this whole time. God worked through Ruth's loyalty and love toward Naomi to show her that she is not alone. Like, what a beautiful mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationship that we got to witness. And God worked through Ruth's openness and love towards Boaz to show him that he's not the neglected half-Jew who will never have a place in this community. No, God worked to rescue his mother, Rahab, and adopt her fully into the family of God. And now God orchestrates this whole process here where Boaz gets to act as the kinsman redeemer, this sacred and servant-hearted role in Jewish society. And so he not only secures Ruth and Naomi's futures, but he also demonstrates that he's an integral part of the community. And so all the elders and the townspeople see him and respect him and bless him, asking God to bring children and a family line through him that blesses the whole town. And we're not even done with the book yet. Keep going with me, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When they came together, the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without next of kin, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne a grandson." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to the house of Naomi." They named him Obed, and he became the father of Jesse, the father of David. Boaz marries Ruth, and God brings another miracle, the miracle of life, a son, and the community comes around her and Naomi. They praise God that God hasn't forgotten either of them. Naomi, whose husband had died, whose sons had died, whose arms were empty, God has filled her arms again with a grandbaby. And the woman declare that Ruth, the outsider, the foreigner, the invisible one, she's better than seven sons. And then we find out that the boy born to Boaz and Ruth is named Obed, who later became the father of Jesse, who later became the father of King David. God's redemption at work through relationships, yet again. You see, God didn't just rescue Ruth. He worked through Ruth to reach Naomi, to reach Boaz, to reach the whole nation of Israel because of King David, and because we know who comes later in King David's line, God worked through Ruth to reach the whole world when he sent his son Jesus to be born in the family line of David, the same family line that includes this invisible misfit, Ruth. This story shows us that God's redemption works through relationships. And if you've ever felt like Ruth, an outsider, a widow, a misfit, this story has hope for you. Because God pursued Ruth. He had Naomi's family move to Ruth's country. And then God provided for her through the relationship and kindness of Boaz. And God welcomed her into the family through the actions of the community, working through that kinsman redeemer system. But God doesn't just welcome outsiders. He works through them to reach even more. Because God worked through Ruth. Her simple acts of love, of staying, gleaning, responding to kindness. Those became the simple acts that were openings through which God brought generations of redemption to the whole people of Israel and the whole world. And if God could work through her, how much more can God work through you to reach our Sauk Valley community? The people that we live by, the ones that we see out and about in the community, the ones that we work with, maybe they're not just acquaintances. Maybe they're not just coworkers or just neighbors. Maybe God is setting up divine appointments because redemption works through relationships. And so a simple next step for us this week is to notice your Ruth. This week, I want to encourage you to ask God to show you the person who's already leaning in towards you. Ask God to show you the person who's on the margins of your life. Ask God to show you the one who feels alone like Naomi felt alone. Ask God to show you the one who feels disqualified like Boaz felt. Ask him to show you the one who needs just a simple act of love. Now, this isn't about earning God's love or trying to prove anything to him because we already have his love. This is just us joining Jesus in what he's already doing around us. Now, your Ruth might actually be your one that we've been talking about this Christmas season. Who's the person who's far from God, but close to you that God wants to reach through you? Who's God putting on your heart right now? Because once we hear from God, we just take one small relational step. Maybe share a meal with them. Maybe send them a message. Give them your listening ear. Drop off Christmas cookies. Maybe give them an invitation to sit with you. Come sit with me for Christmas. I'm coming to this service. Maybe even offer them a ride. Any small relational connection that just shows them, hey, you matter. Because small acts of love carry eternal weight when God is in them. And God works his redemption through relationships. See, the story of Ruth shows us a God who doesn't draw boundaries to keep people out. He breaks open boundaries to beckon them in. We see a God who welcomes the outsider, welcomes the misfit, restores the hurting. We're reminded that God doesn't stay distant. He draws close. And we see it in Jesus because Jesus is the true Redeemer who came into the world through Ruth's line. Jesus is the one who spreads his garment over us, taking us into his family. Jesus is the one who gives us a home, a future, who gives us a name and a place in the kingdom of God. Jesus is the one who works in us and through us to reach others. And so if you feel like an outsider, God is pursuing you. If you feel unqualified, God loves to work through you. If you feel small or unseen, God's love and his redemption always starts small, like a candle in the night, pushing back the darkness, showing hope to everyone who needs it. Isn't that good news? Amen.